This morning's message from God's Word comes from Deuteronomy chapter 8, and you'll find that on page 152 in the Blue Bibles, Deuteronomy chapter 8. We continue in our series through Deuteronomy chapters 1 through 11, and remember that Moses continues to prepare the people of Israel to enter the promised land and to live there well as God's people. And today he emphasizes, or I should say he re-emphasizes, the need to live according to God's word. And so that's going to be the emphasis of the message this morning as well. And we'll see that emphasis as we read the passage. Please follow along as I read Deuteronomy chapter 8 in its entirety. This is God's word. The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God. For it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so shall you perish because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. Here ends the reading of God's word. Let's pray and ask for his help as we consider it. Father in heaven, we thank you for your life-giving word. As we hear it preached this morning, help us to receive it as the means by which you will guide us and nourish us until we reach our final inheritance through Christ our Lord. Amen. When you cook certain foods, you have to keep in mind certain words of wisdom. I remember a time when I was preparing shish kebabs using raw chicken, and I goofed up somewhere, whether it was I think I just didn't wash my hands thoroughly after skewering those things, and of course I ended up violently ill. That is an experience you don't soon forget. Handling and cooking chicken, if you do it right, if you do it according to common sense and, you know, the word of common sense that you've heard, it's great. And if you do it not according to that word, it is horrible. It's a horrible experience, and it's better that you had never even thought about it or touched it than that you handle it wrongly. Now, that is a kind of analogy to life. Here we are living in this world, in this life God has given us, and we learn here in this passage of Scripture, as Moses tells Israel, we are to conduct ourselves according to the Word of God. And this Word, God's directions for us, if we live according to the Word, even the bitter things of life, even the afflictions, are sweetened because God uses them to discipline us and help us. But if we don't live according to the Word, even the sweet things of life, the blessings, end up being bad for us. And so we need to live life according to God's Word. And why would we not live life according to God's Word, since He has redeemed us, right? Israel being redeemed by God out of the land of Egypt, a picture of God's final redemption of us through Jesus Christ. We knowing about Jesus Christ, we being redeemed by Jesus Christ, must live according to the Word of God. So 3 points this morning. First of all, how it goes when we follow the Word. Secondly, how it goes when we forget the Word. And then thirdly, are we following or forgetting? So following, forgetting, and which one are we doing? Let's look at God's Word this morning. First of all, following God's Word. Look at what Moses says, and you see that he is saying, follow God's Word, and you will prosper in affliction and abundance. He talks first about affliction in verses 1 through 6. And here Moses reminds them of their hard journey in the desert. In the last 40 years of wandering, God puts them in what verse 15 calls I believe the word is something like a terrifying wilderness. So they wander over this parched ground with these snakes and these scorpions, and they hunger. Verse 3 says, if you read Exodus and Numbers, you read these stories. God sends them manna, a kind of bread from heaven. God provides for their clothing not to wear out. And in the process, as verse 2 says, their hearts are exposed. Because in the hard times, they find out that they don't really trust God as much as they might have thought. And then when God provides for them, it's interesting when you read the text, it seems that the provision is just as much a test as the hardship. I have time to prove that to you, but read it on your own and see if it isn't the case. When God provides for them, they find out they're actually not very grateful. And they grumble at God's provision. And so in this hardship and in the provision, God is testing them. He is humbling them. And they are finding out the reality of their sin. You know, failure can be very instructive, can it? It's a dose of reality that we can't avoid. I really learned to believe the rules about chicken after I got so sick. I really started to believe what they told me in driver's ed after I had my first accident. You know, you believe it, but then you really believe it, right? After something goes terribly wrong. It's like that spiritually too. When the Lord puts you through hard times, think of how it is. Young people, perhaps your parents say you can't do something you really wanted to do. Or you older folks, you go through some great loss or difficulty or conflict or something. And, you know, you find many times that in the way you're behaving through it, you're actually not really trusting God so well. You're not very settled. You're not being so nice to the people around you. In other words, you're falling short in living by God's word, both His promises and His commands. But God humbles you through that experience, and you come to really believe His word. As we think about that, we have to be so, so grateful for the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything I've been just talking about reminds us of our need for Jesus. What God requires of the human race, as we saw back in chapter 5, is righteousness. In the Ten Commandments, we saw that God requires us to love Him with all of our heart and so forth. God requires us to love our neighbor as ourselves. God doesn't merely require us to do the best we can. God doesn't merely require us to give it the old college try. We're actually supposed to do it. And it's only right because God has made us in His image. We're supposed to behave righteously. As I've just reflected, when we're in hard times, we see that in many ways we fail. Yet our Lord Jesus Christ comes to this earth, and He comes to this earth to render God a perfect obedience we never could. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. And it comes up again this morning because we remember that at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, how the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness, and He was there for, do you remember, 40 days? It reminds you of what Israel went through in their 40 years of testing in the wilderness. God sets it up that way on purpose. And then when the tempter comes to Jesus, his first temptation to Jesus, who must have been famished, was, if you're the Son of God, turn these stones to bread, which sounds reasonable. And perhaps Jesus could practically smell the fresh baked bread as the tempter said it. But really, if Jesus had done that, that would have been not trusting God. That would have been like saying, Lord, I can't wait for your word. I can't wait for you to say, okay, I'm going to go take matters into my own hand because you're not really caring for me. But Jesus, if you remember, responds to the tempter in the words of verse 3. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. What a Savior. And if you think about your own weakness and how really the least affliction kind of knocks you wobbly, and then think about how Jesus went through that perfectly for you, you have to praise God, because this is the Savior God has provided for you. This is the law-keeping Savior who provides us with the gift of righteousness that we trust in Him. So when we talk about living by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, yes, that means to believe the promises of Scripture and to obey the commands of Scripture. But the first way we should think about that, the first way we should think about living by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, it begins with trusting Christ. And why? Because Jesus Christ kept the word for you. Jesus Christ died on the cross for every time you violated the word. Jesus Christ pours out His Spirit on the church and equips the church to spiritually live and live according to the word of God. So to live by everything that proceeds from the mouth of God means, first of all, trust Jesus. And it's no accident that in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, Jesus Himself is called the Word. I don't have time to get into all that this morning. But as we think about all these things, you know, we could wonder, if we forgot everything I just said, we could wonder why God puts up with all of our mistakes, how our Christian life many times looks like the Three Stooges on the golf course. You know, what are they doing? A bunch of clowns. Only for us, you know, all our mistakes have a moral fault involved, right? And so we look at ourselves, we could be helpless. But the Lord Jesus Christ, in coming to obey God for us, gives us, we could say, space in which to be trained. See, He provides us with a righteousness. In Him we become God's beloved sons. And so God, looking at us, beloved in Christ, can work with us gently and slowly, as He did with the true believers of Israel, so He does with you today. And He patiently teaches you and leads you through afflictions and failures. This is God's school for you, because you are beloved in Jesus Christ. So you follow God's word. He uses afflictions to bless you. and those afflictions reinforce the word. And around that goes. So there's afflictions, the first thing. Moving on in our passage, we see, this brings to mind how not every season of our life involves discipline, thankfully. In verses 7 through 10, Moses anticipates a time of abundance as they follow God. So they are going to go into the promised land, and they're going to have, well, Moses lists a whole bunch of things, but it includes water, which is really important when you're coming out of a desert, and crops, and so forth. Lots of plenty, natural resources too. Verse 18 says that some of them are actually going to grow wealthy in the land there. But here's the vision, God's vision for his people. And that is that God brings you through times of affliction. And then sometimes, and I'd imagine this applies to maybe 10 to 20% of the people now in here. Sometimes God brings you out into green pastures, into a time of settledness and plenty and joy. The vision for God's people during that time, as it says in verse 10, is to eat and to be full, enjoy it, and to bless God. That is, to worship Him. And the implication is that you maximize the opportunity. Think about it in New Testament terms. We see how our Lord Jesus Christ went through His valley of humiliation, His season of suffering for our sake. Now Jesus Christ has triumphed and He's come out the other side into His reward, but Christ is not just kicking back in glory. He is industriously doing His Father's will. And so when God brings you into a season of rest and refreshment, which is a little taste of the victory of Christ, which is a little snippet of the land of promise where you're going, when you get a season like that, eat and be full and bless the Lord. Use what He has given you to share with others, to be energized in His service, and be strengthened by that abundance. So all that so far is a vision of people following God's word and being strengthened in affliction, also being strengthened in abundance. Now, moving on to the second point, we get a mirror image of that and see what happens if we forget God's word. And what we see there, first of all, in verses 11 through 18, if we forget God's word, that abundance will actually make us grow weaker, not stronger. It's true that we ought to eat, be full, and bless the Lord, as in verse 10. But verse 14 says, some people, many people, when they eat and are full, they forget the Lord. Verse 14. They get honors, they get possessions, and those things claim their hearts, and it soaks up all their attention and their love. Moses is afraid of something that will actually happen. He's afraid that Israel is going to forget how God saved them from Pharaoh's whips. They're going to forget how God humbled them for their sins in the snake-infested desert. Verse 15. They're going to forget how they depended on manna. Verse 16. And especially as the generations go by, Israel, more prosperous, more happy Israel, is going to start being like that proverbial guy born on third base who thinks he hit a triple. They don't remember how they got there. They don't remember what they actually deserve. They forget. And they think, paraphrasing verse 17, they think, well, I gained all this, and I guess I'm pretty special. As we saw back in chapter 6, success will test you as much or more than affliction. Proverbs 27, verse 21 says, a man is tested by his praise. So there's a special test that comes when things are going well. Don't let the abundance make you forget the Lord. Forget how you've been humbled. Forget how it's been so clearly demonstrated that you're a great sinner in need of a great Savior. If we forget God's word, that the abundance, it won't help us. It will just weaken us. It's, as it were, spiritual food poisoning. And then finally, under our second point, if we forget the word of God, affliction won't teach us, it will destroy us. Verses 19 and 20, Moses warns them, if you, softened by all your successes, go after other gods, the Lord will make you perish. Now, that's a very succinct way of saying it. If you go on to read Deuteronomy chapter 28, that whole idea of perishing is expanded out. And we see what it is. When God's people wander from Him, God starts bringing afflictions, one after the other. But unfortunately, in many cases, they harden their hearts. Things get more and more severe, but they still won't listen. And eventually they are invaded and carried off into exile. They, as it were, perish. They harden their hearts until they're destroyed. They just stop listening to God's word. Affliction, the training of affliction is not automatic. Right? Not everybody learns after their first accident. It's not automatic. And so in the Christian life, if you keep blocking out God's word, you won't be taught by your afflictions. You'll be singed by them. Or to use a different metaphor, we think of how gold melts in the fire, but ceramic just gets harder and harder. And so it is with a heart that is turning from God and is growing hard. The increasing affliction just makes the heart harder. And I think that is why the punishments of hell are non-redemptive, because I suspect it's the case that the people in eternal punishment are continually hardening their hearts. No affliction will train you if you keep blocking out God's word. We need to be soft to God's word, so affliction will have the right effect. So, there we go. What happens when we follow the word, then a very sobering picture of what happens when we forget the word. And then the big question of the text is, are you following or are you forgetting? Are you following or forgetting? Let's take stock together. Are we following or forgetting? Following God's word, very simply, means, first of all, a person, secondly, a book, and thirdly, a lifestyle. The person is Jesus Christ, He who has obeyed God's word for us, as we already saw, died on the cross for all our transgressions of the word, and risen again with power to make us new and teach us to obey the word. Following the word means, first of all, believing in Jesus. Secondly, it's the book. God gives us the scriptures that contain His promises and commands. Give your attention to that book. And then, well, that's the third thing, actually. The lifestyle. The lifestyle is pursuing that word by scripture reading, by prayer, by coming to church, by sitting under the word, by fellowshipping with other Christians, and everything else that's conducive to hearing the word and putting it into practice. So that's following God's word. The picture of forgetting the word is the opposite. It is to ignore Christ. It is to neglect His word. It is to forsake the assembly of the saints, to not read your Bible, and so forth. All of that is forgetting the word. But unfortunately, forgetting can kind of sneak up on us. It's kind of what Moses is talking about here. He's saying, don't let it sneak up on you. Forgetting can sneak up on us because functionally, we can become hardened against God's word. We don't think we are. We don't say we are. But it's because we are becoming hardened in our pursuit of something else. If there's another love that's claiming our heart, if you find yourself being very kind of hard in your own views of what you must have and what you deserve, if you find yourself butting heads with people as you go for what you want, right? As you get very crushed when you don't get what you want and those sorts of things. Those kind of things are little, I'll say they're symptoms of spiritual food poisoning. They're kind of like the bread alone syndrome as it's starting to break out. And you are no longer being satisfied with the word of God and restful in Him and flexible in your plans, but you are getting very kind of untrustful in the way you're living. So forgetting is you know, it can just kind of happen baldly. It can also kind of sneak up on you by other things stealing your heart. This morning, God calls us to remember. How are we going to remember? This morning, as we work toward our close, I want to invite you to remember by doing exactly what Moses does with Israel. Here Moses calls Israel's lives into review, and he thinks about their afflictions. And I just want you to think about that with me this morning. I'd like you to think of one affliction you've been through. How about the worst one? The one that almost did you in. Whether it was that illness, that huge disappointment, that setback, whatever it was. You young people may have kind of a hard time with that. The older you are, it probably just popped into your mind. But this is not rhetorical. I really want you to think of something, okay? Think of it. Get it in your mind. Think about how it went. Kind of review it. Wouldn't you agree that as you went through that, that the Lord humbled you in certain ways? I mean, you cannot completely approve of your own performance and attitudes, can you? I mean, you stumbled in various ways. And so as you think about it, first of all, you should be humbled and driven to the Savior Jesus Christ, because he did it, and he did it for you. He obeyed for you, and he paid the price for your sins. So you think about it, remember it, be humbled by it. And as you're humbled, also just reflect on how that was for you. Think about how God walked with you through that trouble, how he sustained you, how he forgave you. Did you ever have to wonder if he would forgive you? No. He forgave you in Jesus Christ. He went with you, and he pointed you to his word, and he built you up. And you can see it as you look back. You came out on the other side of that, I trust and hope, seeing the importance of God's word even more. Christ was he not even sweeter to you on the other side of that great affliction? So this is God's message for us this morning. Put your life in review. Think about God's faithfulness. Think about your great Savior. Think about how much you can trust him. And take to heart what God says. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Let us then, in submission to Jesus Christ, be devoted to that word. Amen. Let's pray.